as more states look forward to legalizing marijuana, one of the main claims proponents of this idea lean on is that it would reduce crime rates. Well, last time I counted, since there are 10 states along with the District of Columbia which have already legalized marijuana, don't they become a rather active research study to see whether that claim is true or not? This is an issue my next guest recently wrote about in an op-ed for The Hill. He is the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, Jason Johnson. How are you today, Mr. Johnson?
I'm doing well, thanks, Chris, for having me.
And we've linked over to Jason's article at The Hill, but you can also go over to hill.com and learn more about the work and to support the work at the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, policedefense.org. In your article on The Hill, there's some links to some of the crime stats of the various cities. One that I looked at was just shocking. Again, the claim being that legalized marijuana, the crime rate goes down. Well, then explain the way that the homicide rate in Denver has rocketed in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I think among the lead arguments for proponents for legalization are that it will reduce crime, and the argument goes that if marijuana is legal, then that takes away the black market for the trade of marijuana, and that any violence associated with the black market then goes away. But two things. First off, homicide rate, as you indicated, in Denver has increased sharply since 2013 when legalization was implemented. It's almost doubled. It went from 36 homicides in 2013 to 67 in 2018. We've seen similar increases in the other main city in the main jurisdiction that legalized at the same time, being Seattle, which went from 19 to 31 during the same time period. But the other thing is, it's because the black market hasn't disappeared. It's really not even contested by proponents that legalization has not eliminated or even reduced the black market. And I think the reason is this, Chris. I think, when states legalize and create a distribution network through legal, quote-unquote legal, dispensaries, they also tax and introduce pretty significant regulations on the industry, which, of course, are costly. And that cost is passed on to the consumer. So the consumer has a choice. They can either go into a legal dispensary and pay a certain amount, or they can pay significantly less in the black market. And oftentimes that's what consumers will choose. So it keeps it alive and well.
That's the thing with the states that want to legalize it, along with the ones who have already. Why not just be honest about it? Because most people realize this is just a money grab by the states. It's not some sort of benevolent idea to present an opportunity to get weight off of the police, or I guess one of the other claims is to take low-level crime charges out of the whatever community might happen to be. The states are just looking for money, pure and simple.
Yeah, I think a lot of states. My home state's Maryland. I know yours is New Jersey. Neither state has legalized recreational marijuana yet, but I know that both legislatures are looking at what's happening in other states and really are getting excited about the potential for increasing their revenue. But the problem with that, Chris, beyond even the implications for crime and disorder, which I think anyone who's been to Denver, Seattle lately, can anecdotally report on changes in those cities since legalization. Beyond that, is the implications for even increasing revenue. California recently really, really slashed their expectations for what they expect to see in increased tax revenue as a result of legalization. And the reason is the same as what I indicated earlier, and that is that their projections were based on the black market disappearing, and that just isn't happening. It's just it's a matter of economics. Consumers will go to a lower price alternative rather than paying more in taxes and regulation costs at a store, at a quote unquote legal marijuana dispensary. So the revenue in California, for example, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they projected a couple billion dollars in increased tax revenue, and they've revised that down significantly to a couple hundred million dollars, which may or may not even cover the increased public safety costs and other costs that the state will bear as a result of legalization.
Oh, Jason Johnson, who is the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, policedefense.org is their website. He's written a column about the facts about legalized marijuana at thehill.com. We've also linked to it directly at our website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Those added costs, that's something that we've talked about here off on the show, too. Like, I mean, just the concept of driving while drugged. For police officers, that involves training, that involves education, that involves additional funding for equipment, programs, and the list goes on from there. There are all these incidentals that all the proponents for legalized marijuana, they just haven't seemed to factor into all this, haven't they?
Well, it doesn't help the argument. You know, projecting increased costs for marijuana proponents is not something that's popular to do, and it's all along police groups, police chief organizations in particular, have tried to raise these issues, but they've tended to fall on deaf ears in state legislatures as they consider legalization. And there's this perception in the pro-legalization community that police are inherently opposed to legalization, that there's a bias against legalization. And really, I have not found that to be true in my experience. I think that police groups and organizations sort of come at this objectively. I think if it made sense from a public policy perspective that you would see law enforcement getting behind this, if it really would reduce crime, if it really would reduce public safety costs, there's no reason why law enforcement wouldn't support it. But I think that an objective review of not only what the likely result of this is, and also looking at in jurisdictions that have already done it, is that it's not good public policy. And I think any really objective person looking at that would agree. There are absolutely are increased public safety costs. You hit on one of them, driving while under the influence of marijuana, which has increased in those jurisdictions, results in not only increased deaths from accidents resulting from that, but also the cost of enforcement. Police officer, there's a breathalyzer test to see if someone is under the influence of alcohol. For marijuana, it's a little more complicated. You have to train police officers to recognize the signs of impairment and make them, in fact, experts that can testify in court as experts of those signs. And it's very costly to do that. There are many, many other costs as well associated with it. So it's a great point.
In any gray area, too, you open up as a police officer getting sued for making a mistake or a false arrest, whatever the case may be, even if it's just a swing for the fences as a defense by the person you've arrested. You mentioned your home state of Maryland, and you have a chief prosecutor in Baltimore who seems to can't wait for the legislature to do what a lot of people want them to do and legalize marijuana. Marilyn Mosby decided to take action in her own hands.
Yeah, and your listeners probably recognize the name Marilyn Mosby. She was the Baltimore chief prosecutor who led the rush to charge six Baltimore police officers in the death of Freddie Gray before even all the evidence was in. Her latest announcement was last week that her office will not. Now, again, possession of marijuana is still criminalized in Maryland over 10 grams. Possession over 10 grams is still a crime, a misdemeanor. But her office will not be prosecuting any of those cases, regardless of the amount, under her new policy. And, two immediate problems, at least, with that. The first is a sort of a separation of powers problem. She is the elected prosecutor, and she does have discretion on cases that her office will prosecute. But the fact is the law, and only the legislature can change the law, not a prosecutor. So a blanket policy to not enforce the law is really creates a separation of powers issue. But beyond that, it puts the cops in Baltimore in a terrible position because it's still unlawful and they still have an oath to uphold the law. But when they do so that sort of at their own peril, because if something bad happens while they're enforcing the law, the natural criticism will be that they shouldn't be enforcing that law because the prosecutor is not going to prosecute the case. So it really, once again, puts them in an awful position. And I think we need to wait for the legislatures, whether you're for or against legalization, it's for the legislatures to work that out, not for individual prosecutors.
The article is entitled, "Is Marijuana Legalization Driving Increases in Violent Crime?" And all through Jason's article, as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of hyperlinks that will get you into various crime reports for cities like Denver, Seattle, D.C., etc., which is surprising that the news media, which has been quite the proponent of this idea as well, there are locations, especially in Denver, which are dedicated to providing the facts of the matter and the true impact of when marijuana gets legalized in those states, certainly in New Jersey, other places, if you're listening on the stream, This is an issue that's at your doorstep, and the full facts and the awareness is pretty important. So take a few moments to read Jason's article over thehill.com. Learn more about the work of Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund at policedefense.org. Jason Johnson, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.